Hello everyone and welcome to the Climate Voices podcast. I'm your host Omesa Mukaya. I'm excited to welcome you to yet another episode of the Voices of the Future series, where we are highlighting and shining a spotlight on young leaders that are involved in environmental organizing and leading the fight against climate change and for environmental justice. And so joining us today on this episode is an incredible high school student, an 11th grader, Noah Jaffer from Molden High School, a passionate advocate of environmental organizing and currently a member of the Youth Action Collaborative, which is a youth development program that I lead at Clean Water Action here in Massachusetts. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my name is Noor, like he said. I'm an 11th grader at Molden High School, and I am a part of the Clean Water Action that OMESA happened to provide for our school, so I'm incredibly grateful for it, and thank you for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to have you, and thanks for joining us. And yeah, I know for the past several weeks that I've spent with you at the Youth Action Collaborative Program at Molden High School, I can tell that, you know, you're extremely passionate about environmental justice. And today we're going to dive a little bit into the world of youth activism and discover what the next generation of environmental leaders are doing. Before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and briefly talk about what sparked your interest in environmental organizing?
Obviously, I'm a high school student, 11th grade. I've always been passionate about like nature and stuff like that. But before I even get to that, I am a part of the like mock trial like club and like youth and government. And a lot of the topics and cases that we talk about always happen like are like related to nature and like suing somebody for like, you know, it's a lot of that. And I think a lot of, before I even started that, I always like cared about the environment, but I didn't fully understand how I could make a real impact. Like I'd read articles, watched like documentaries, and I like heard about a lot of issues like climate change, pollution, and like deforestation. But it wasn't until I joined this program that I realized how much power we all have to make a difference. I remember the first time I participated in a local cleanup event. It was like around the summer of 2023. I saw the immediate impact of just a few hours of work, like 1 or 2 hours. We picked up trash that had been left around a park. I can't remember exactly what the name of the park is, but it's located in Malden. And by the end, it looked so much better. It's that simple act that made me realize that change doesn't have to be so big and meaningful. It made me want to keep doing more and work harder to help protect the environment. And yeah.
I'm inspired by your story, and I'm glad that you found that pivotal moment for your life where you were like, you need to do something. And I like that you're taking that initiative and being involved. And you did mention that you're taking part in this program, the Youth Action Collaborative, which, like I mentioned before, is a youth development program run by Clean Water Action here in Massachusetts. And so I know we have had a number of sessions. We have had a series of sessions ranging from issue sessions and skill building workshops. But are there some skills that you're currently learning? And is there anything else that you have learned at the Youth Action Collaborative that you want to share with the audience today?
Yeah, so obviously when I first started the actual like program, I wasn't so confident. My speaking skills in front of people that I did not even know. But as we started talking and communicating with people and multiple individuals that I've never seen, one of my favorite sessions was when we had the Rhode Island senator come in.
Her name is Cynthia Mendes.
Yeah, it was awesome. She talked all about the actions she had made to help the environment and community in general. And I think a lot of skills that not necessarily like required, but you will learn as you're going on with the program are like public speaking, being able to kind of back up whatever claim you like made. Like, for example, oh, Malden has a lot of pollution. So we kind of got to like take pictures of trash or like areas that we did not enjoy or we would like some change in. And we kind of just talked about it. And we're eventually going to start on a final project that hopefully gets to help the environment.
I'm definitely looking forward to the final project. It's called the Youth Participatory Action Research Project, which is led by the young people. And I can't really wait to see what the group decides to implement in the community in Modern. As you have mentioned, there are a number of issues that we're facing, and a number of my colleagues from Clean Water Action have come in and talked about the campaigns that we run, among them lead in drinking water and lead service line replacement. And we've talked about toxics and things like PFAS. PFAS is the acronym for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, which are very toxic substances that we don't want anywhere near our bodies, and zero waste, among other campaigns on climate justice. And Anin, you have mentioned that you've learned skills that my colleague Cynthia Mendes, who is the state co-director for Massachusetts, and the skill was called power mapping, which is an important tool for any environmental organizer, not just the young people, but any environmental organizer, more so the young people, to learn, because these are some of the skills that you need, especially in persuading those people who have the power to make things happen. And I'm so glad that you found that session interesting and helpful. And yeah, I can't wait to actually see you guys apply that in the final project and later in life.
Yeah, we actually, in one of my classes, I brought up power mapping from this actual Clean Water Action. I had to like explain to them where it is. And we essentially used it. And I kind of just explained how it's like a strategy that's like used in activism. And it's like to identify and understand like the key people, groups, or like organizations that hold power over an issue. And the goal is just to kind of figure out who has the influence to like make decisions or like and change, and also build, how to build relationships with them and to like achieve kind of what like you're looking for.
So during your journey, there are any challenges that you faced in your youth activism, and how have you navigated around, addressing some of those challenges?
Yeah, definitely. I think one challenge that I faced was staying motivated when the progress kind of felt a little bit slow. Sometimes it feels like no matter how much work or like how much work, it's hard to see like immediate changes in the environment. And there have been times when events were not specifically with this, the Clean Water Action, but just in general, when like we've organized events and they didn't go as planned, or like not as many participants that we hoped to show up actually to show up. At those times, I've just had to like remind myself that like change takes time, and that small actions can add up and will add up. And the key is not to get discouraged, but to just kind of keep moving forward and just finding new ways to like reach people and your audience that you want to reach. And another challenge is just balancing my environmental work with like school and sports and other responsibilities that I have. And it can be hard to manage everything all at once, but I've learned to stay organized and set priorities and work with my like team to share the workload that I have. And even with these challenges, I found my way to just navigate through them. And it's those moments, like big and small, that like remind me of why I'm doing this and why I'm even in this program to begin with.
One thing that is very important that you mentioned is that it doesn't just happen overnight. It's a whole process. It takes time. Sometimes we face all those challenges, but it doesn't mean we stop there or we give up and stop, doing what we do, because the planet, again, like we said, doesn't speak for itself. We have to be the voice. We have to work to make it better for our future generations, and especially for the young people, because the young people are going to live here longer to experience some of the challenges and some of the impacts that we're facing at the moment. And I love that you've talked about collaborating with others, doing group work, which is exactly what we are doing with the Youth Action Collaborative Program, is trying to work together with others, because somehow in this journey, you need a pillar of support, you need all the support that you can get from the people who are interested and who have the same values, who share the same values as yourself. I'm so glad that you're making it work, trying to balance between your classwork and environmental organizing journey. And you are actually excelling at it. I recently listened to the mini speeches that you guys did when you're practicing your public speaking skills, which was phenomenal, which shows that you are really learning something and you're going to do great things in future. So I'm so proud of you for that.
Thank you.
How do you envision the future of our planet? And is there a role that you see the young people playing in shaping that?
Yeah, this is actually I was looking forward for this question. I envision a future where people around the world kind of like work together to protect the environment and just kind of promote like sustainability. Because with climate change and pollution and natural resources, they're becoming more urgent issues. And I believe it's very important and essential for all of us to make like a kind of a collective effort to protect our planet. And in my vision, more communities will come together and like take action and find solutions to environmental challenges, and people will rely more on like renewable energy and reduce waste and kind of like adopt like a kind of eco-friendly lifestyle. And I see young people playing a huge role in this future. We have much fresher perspectives and energy and kind of the drive to challenge like the current status of our environment. And in the past few years, we've kind of like already seen young activists, such as the young activists that we have in our own group, leading the charge kind of for the climate action. As we can kind of continue to grow and get like more involved, we'll be the ones pushing for like the changes. And we just need to protect the earth for future generations, like Omisa mentioned. And I believe young people will be the ones to drive the big changes we need, not just by raising awareness, but like by also actively changing the way we live and interact with our environment.
Yes, the young people are the ones who lead the way in making the world a sustainable place. And I love that you're already being involved at a very young age. I never got involved at a very young age myself. I got to learn about all this when I had already grown old, but I really love that you've already started with this journey, you know, this early, and you understand what is happening and why it's important that we do our part. I really love that, like you mentioned, young people across the world, not just here in Massachusetts or in the US, but everywhere around the world, we see young people rising and demanding accountability from the older generations, because, you know, we don't like to point fingers, but the truth be said is that the older generations, and especially those who are in power, failed us, and can't just sit and watch them ruin our future. And we have to demand that they do something, and we have to stand up and do something ourselves. And we don't have to do it big, you know, at the beginning, but every little effort that, you know, we put at the beginning, and all those, you know, small efforts combined, they're the ones that make a greater impact. So thank you so much again. So what advice will you give to other students who want to be involved in environmental conservation, and, you know, such as what you've been doing before, but, you know, some of them don't even know where to start? They care, they understand, they have the information, but they actually don't know what to do or where to start.
Yeah, if you're a student who like wants to get involved in like environmental causes but doesn't really know where to start, my advice is just to take it one step at a time. You don't have to make huge changes right away, and you definitely don't have to do it alone either. Kind of like start small, maybe by learning more about environmental issues or like watching documentaries or reading about them online. You can also join environmental clubs at your school, like I did, or look for a little school grant. And like YAC, and I'm sure it's in many other states rather than just Massachusetts, that focuses more on making a difference. And a great way to begin is by finding a cause that like speaks to you. For example, as a cause that speaks to me most is the lead issue, as it causes a lot of issues within people, specifically young people. My speech actually that I had at the program was about lead. And I really started writing about it and also speaking about it. And from there, you can get involved in community events or projects and just slowly build up your knowledge and skills. And obviously, don't be afraid to ask for help or like find people who have experience in activism. They can guide you and like help you learn from their own experiences. And the key is just to stay motivated and just never, ever underestimate the power of your actions. Even if it seems small, I promise you, your actions have a lot of power. And even if you feel like you're the only one making a small difference, those small changes can add up and just inspire others to do the same.
Yes. Don't ever underestimate yourself. That's a very important point that you make there. And don't shy away from asking for help if you need help. there's all this help out here, there are all the resources that we have. So always ask for help. Any young person who's listening out there, there's always help. And don't underestimate yourself. You have a lot of, you know, power than you can imagine. So the only thing you need to do is just go out and find the right people and find the right places to channel all that energy and be involved in making our world a sustainable place. Yeah, so thank you so much again for the emphasis and for those powerful words. I believe all the young people out there listening are going to hear your voice and also get inspired to take part like yourself. So is there anything that so far you've learned, you know, from this journey, from your environmental organizing experience that has surprised you the most?
Yeah, one thing that actually surprised me about this learning experience the most during this like environmental activism journey is the incredible power of a community as a whole. Before even getting involved, I like kind of often felt like environmental issues were kind of too big for me to, I guess, tackle alone. But like when I joined this YAC program, I saw how much like can be accomplished when people come together for a specific goal that they have. And it's just amazing how much stronger a group is when everybody uses their own unique skills, regardless how big or small they are, and just kind of ideas to like make change. And I also learned that activism isn't just about big and dramatic actions. It's just like also about being consistent and getting educated about it. And like small everyday actions like spreading awareness, like on social media or like flyers around the school or just helping with local cleanup events can actually have a huge impact just by being a part of these projects. And my communication and leadership skills have improved a lot throughout the time that I've been in this program. And I've kind of learned to be like more patient and flexible when things don't always go as planned, because things will not always go as planned. I think that's just a life lesson in general. And most importantly is I've learned that no matter how small my contribution or your contribution might be, it can still have a huge and meaningful difference. And that was a life lesson that I think I will bring with me everywhere.
Yes, yes, that's a very important life lesson. You know, no matter how you think, how small you think your contribution is, it's very essential, it's very important. And so always speak out and put in your little effort and your little contribution, because it's those small, small contributions that when put together, they make a greater impact. And I'm so glad that you are cognizant of that fact. And I also like that you said your communication skills have improved. This is something that I've, you know, witnessed firsthand from the engagements that we've had, from your writing letters to the editor, from your public speeches and practicing your public speaking skills. It's something that, you know, it's always a work in progress. You don't have to know it all. What matters is, you know, the effort that you put and the steps that you put towards making progress. You know, that's what really counts. And the good thing is, like we always say, all these skills, they are teachable. They are things that we can learn. So no one has to be born, you know, okay, some people are born great speakers, but not everyone is born a great speaker or great leader. Some of the skills we have to learn, which is why we have this development programs like the Youth Action Collaborative, and I'm glad that it's been helpful to yourself. Do you have any call to action for anyone who's listening to this? Is there anything you'll want to ask, you know, especially the young people or even the older people who are listening to this, who are sometimes even the older people know that, you know, all these things are happening. They don't know where to start or how to be involved. Sometimes, you know, they say, I'm just one person, so what can I do? So is there any call to action you want to make to anyone who's listening to this podcast?
Yeah, the big idea is that, or something that everybody needs to understand is the environment needs all of us, because it's our environment, not anybody else's. And the time to act is not tomorrow, or it's now. Like my call to action is just simple, like find out one way, or big or small, or just contribute to protecting our planet. And it could be like joining a local cleanup, or like planting trees or reducing your water energy use that you could start doing now, or even starting conversations about environmental issues in your community. Because I myself was not able to do that until I joined this program, and that was through doing research to make action and start with what feels manageable. Don't feel like the whole you have to do everything all at once, and as you learn more, take one bigger challenge. And we all have the power to create change, and when we work together, our impact kind of multiplies. And I also encourage you all to reflect on these questions. I wrote these questions like a while ago, and every time I'm anywhere that just talks about environment and nature, I kind of ask them, like, what's one change you can make in your daily life that will help the environment? Or who in your community has the power to make environmental decisions? And like, how can you support or like influence them? Or like, how can you inspire your friends or family or even classmates if you're a younger individual to take action with you? And I feel like by like thinking about these questions and just finding your place in the environment, you can like take huge steps like towards creating a healthier planet for everybody. Because as the time goes by, that won't affect anybody else but us. And just don't wait for somebody else to act, because that person might be waiting for somebody else. And it's just gonna, it's the whole entire like cycle. And your effort matters. And most importantly is that the environment is counting on us and you. So if you don't take action, or that person doesn't take action, the environment will only get worse, and that will only affect us. And then at the end, we're going to be like, dang it, I could have acted it. Yeah.
Yes. We don't want to get to a situation where we say we are going to regret and saying, I wish I did this and this. That is not an ideal situation, because the good news is that we have a chance to act today. And like Noah says, let's act now. Start from, you know, even the little things that you do at your personal level, at your home. It's what counts. You don't have to do big actions. Again, like you say, it doesn't have to be big or dramatic. You can start with the little things around you, and then talk to your colleagues. You talked about collaboration, and that's where other people who are interested in the cause that you're interested in also come in. And identifying who has power to make things change. That's exactly our power mapping skill that we learned, you know, identifying those people who are allied to our cause, or the people that share the same vision and the same values, and trying to persuade them to support our cause and contribute towards making a greater change, because it's our planet, it's our home, it's our shared home. No one is going to do it for us. So I totally agree with you that we can't just sit there and wait, hoping that someone somewhere is going to do it. So it goes without saying that everyone has to do something and be part of making it sustainable. We'll be coming to the end of this, but I want to, you know, check with you and if there's anything, any last thoughts, any last words that you want to mention.
Yeah, like I'm just still on the topic of what can you do. I've learned through the program is whether you're old or young or whatever age you are, you can make change through the own comfort of your home. For example, in the like city of Malden, going back to the lead issue, you can actually make a simple call through your phone, asking for somebody to come change the plumbing. I think that's what it is.
The lead service lines.
Yep, the lead service line. And that will make a huge impact also in future generations, because through my researches about lead, that can cause huge, huge developmental issues. Sometimes, like, I think it can get cancerous as well. And it's just, and also just if you're a high school student or college student, there are many opportunities for you to make like projects and just make a change.
Again, for now, mentions about a lead issue in Malden where we currently work, but if you want to learn more about the lead campaign, there's more information. You can go to cleanwater.org and learn more about what Clean Water Action is doing in addressing the lead exposure and lead in drinking water, especially in underserved communities or in environmental justice communities, which face, you know, some of these impacts disproportionately more than others. Yeah, so thank you so much again, Noah, and it was nice having you on the show, and thanks for sharing your story. I'm sure there are a lot of young people or older people out there, like you mentioned, age doesn't really matter, it's as long as you do something, because we are all in this together. I really appreciate you taking time to share with us today, and it was great having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And everyone for listening. This is the Climate Voices podcast, and I'm your host, Omesa Mokaya.